NBC Monitor News on the Hour, Jack Welby reporting. The Hour's top story, Henry Kissinger, who returns to Paris Monday for resumption of private peace talks, receives last-minute briefing from President Nixon at the Key Biscayne, Florida White House. Jack Welby, NBC News.
For the next 3 minutes on Monitor, there's music by the Crusaders. The title is So Far Away, a tune written by Carole King. Hi, this is Frank Sinatra, Jr. Maybe you knew that if you've been with us for most of the show. As you also know, tonight is a first for me here on Monitor as your host, but Cindy Adams is here rather frequently on Saturday night doing her radio specials. I thought it would be kind of fun to have Cindy on as a guest for a change. She's always interviewing people, so why shouldn't I interview her? Well, I'm game if you are. Let's see what happens when Madame Adams gets here. But right now, I'd like to have you listen to a lady who I've been on speaking terms with most of the time for a long, long time.
Been a messin', and gonna walk all over you. Walk all over you. Walk all over you. Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Well, there's Nancy. All her very famous boots. Record, of course, that she teases me about because it was such a big hit for her, and I tease her about because it wasn't mine. But if you ever saw me in a miniskirt, you'd understand why I couldn't sing that song. Our guest right now is a lovely lady who's quite a famous New Yorker here, partly because she's a talented actress, and also because she's a hostess right here on Monitor. Miss Cindy Adams is right here, and how are you today?
I'm very good, thank you, Frank. But you know, I'd like to ask you some things. Do you mind if I get to be a big mouth and I ask you some questions?
All right, I'm game, all right.
Okay, what is your lifestyle? What does Frank Sinatra Jr. live like? Do you have lots of servants? Are you a big sport?
Well, servants, I'm sure, Cindy, are quite nice with the exception of the fact that they won't travel. And when you travel 140,000 miles a year, as I do, it's a little difficult to keep them in employment.
Well, what about your apartment or home?
I do have a home in California.
Do you have a cook, a secretary?
No, I
always figure
the cook.
Guys like you got to live like the biggest stars.
No, not at all. And I am the cook, the secretary, the upstairs maid, the downstairs maid. I do the cleaning, I do the washing, I do the dusting and the vacuuming. The only thing I don't do is the gardening.
You're kidding me. You do your own laundry, you do your own cleaning up, your own dishes.
Doesn't Joey do that?
Joey who?
All right.
Maybe
I'll
you'll work
for
me
that
Tuesdays
right
and
now.
Thursdays. That good stuff. What kind of an allowance did you get? You seem to be, you know, it comes off corny when I say it, but you seem to be a very, very nice fella. Really nice. Like,
well, thank you.
Like somebody in my family would have been brought up. You're clean cut. You're beautiful. Your hair is nice and neat. Your nails aren't long. You're not wearing scruffy, hippie things. How come? What's with you, your chemistry, that you didn't turn out like everybody else did in this era?
I am the way I see fit to be. That's really all I can tell you. It's a very nice thing that you seem to agree with my appearance. I appreciate it. But I just do that which I think is right to do.
Of course. But I wonder where it comes from. Was your mother a strict lady?
I'll tell you what it is. In New York, now bearing in mind you're talking to a professional Californian, right?
Yeah.
In New York City, there's a great old Jewish philosopher I know whose name is Sam Schnitzer.
Yeah.
And he has a radio show across town, and he's an old friend of mine, and he sent me his book recently.
Yeah.
And he told me that he felt I should be that way in case I should meet a nice Jewish girl and settle down.
See, you going to meet a nice Jewish girl and settle down?
Well, I don't know. That's if Joey thinks that he can find one for me, I think that'd be fine. You know, I'm kind of sorry he didn't drop in to visit with us today. Do you ever do that? Do you ever go on the same show, pull a Steve and Edie like that?
With my husband, Joey Adams? Well, no, we meet at airports. It's good enough.
Meet at airports?
I'm going into town. He's listen, I'm supposed to be interviewing you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
and here you're asking me questions.
All right.
We're getting up to the holidays.
Right.
Can you, in show business and with an exciting family, can you have a normal kind of holiday? Do your family get together, or do you...
Well, I'll tell you. Now, here's what the situation is. This coming Christmas season, this month, I will be at Las Vegas. My sister Nancy will be at another hotel across the street from me. And on Christmas Day, we're going to go down to my family's home at Palm Springs, California, where my grandmother will be celebrating December the 24th, her 79th birthday, and we will all be together for the double occasion, both for her birthday and for Christmas, you see. So that's about as normal as we can do. But then, of course, at a certain point in the evening, the alarm will sound, and Nancy and I will have to go back to the airport and go to work.
Well, then you're not the only Sinatra that's working, right?
Well, I'm the only one that works permanently. My sister Nancy, when she's not having her boots retreaded, she comes back and plays a nightclub occasionally.
Frank, we had this psychic who gave us a reading on Frank Sinatra Sr., and he told us something about his career, and I'd like you to hear it.
Okay? All right.
We also had a very interesting experience. Enrico Caruso came in and said that he feels very sad that Frank Sinatra has gone into what he called semi-retirement, and that definitely Frank will return to full-time entertaining in very early 1973. And I happened to be in Palm Springs about 3 weeks ago, and I ran into Mr. Sinatra, and he's in the best health he's ever been in, and he definitely will return because his voice is better than ever.
Well, that's most interesting. And what are your comments about that, Cindy? What do you think?
Me? I don't know your father, and I don't know that he will be back. I'd like to know, what are your comments on it?
My comments are almost identical to yours. Whereas I do know him, I don't know that he'll be back, and I have not the slightest idea what his viewpoints are at the moment about it. You see, since giving up entertainment, he's gone into politics recently, and I think that that seems to be on his mind at the moment. And I doubt if the twain shall meet. That's speculation only.
Mm. Then you can't tell whether the psychic has gone south with the birds or what.
No, that's possible. And more north, I would say, because he has been spending most of his time recently with that great statesman known in Alaska as Spiro T. Igloo. So that's about it, you know. That's what he's been up to lately.
I would like to ask you about, well, I guess a childhood a little bit. Who did you have as playmates? Did you have big stars, or did you play with simple people? In other words, what I'm trying to find out is, a kid like you who did not grow up like I did. I grew up like a very plain little simple soul. You know, I had a dollar a week allowance.
Would you explain that, please?
How did you
seem to feel, Cindy, that I did not grow up the way you did. Now,
I can't believe that anybody who would grow up in a big show business family would lead as simple a childhood as I did.
All right, now let's start right there. And in answer to your question, my mother, like all mothers, was the parent who was primarily left to raise and rear the children, you see. And it just so happens that my mother was one of eight sisters and a brother, the children of a Long Branch, New Jersey plaster worker. During the Depression years, when she grew up at that particular time, and she used to tell me, and I used to see when my mother's parents were still living. We used to go to the house, of course, on Sunday afternoons, like all good Italian families would do. And I used to be told stories that, as a child, I didn't understand. And that was that when my mother was a child, sometimes they ate, sometimes they didn't. She had, in those days before the advent of nylon stockings, she had one pair of stockings a week, usually made of silk, I imagine, in those days. And it was her duty to try to keep those stockings in condition for 7 days without getting runs in them or anything, because she'd have to live with them from that point on.
Mm, wow.
It was purely coincidental, Cindy, that Nancy Barbato married her boyfriend, Frank Sinatra, who they had met at summer camp in the mid-30s. And it was even more coincidental sometime later that my father, fortunately, became such a monstrous success as an entertainer. But my mother... And I don't mean this as a slam, but I'm rather proud of my mother being of actually pretty darn good peasant Italian stock, could never break the habit. Therefore, I was, as a child, raised in that kind of surrounding. No matter whether or not there were 10, 20, or 40 servants in the house, whether or not I was receiving of Kool-Aid under glass, the fact remains that if there was food left on any plate, I would get scolded, because this is a terrible waste. And I used to have hand-me-down clothes like every other kid has hand-me-down clothes. So, you see, I'll bet you I grew up very much like you did.
Well, you did, but I wouldn't have thought so. I would have thought that you brushed your teeth with mink tails. I would never think that you led a normal
mink,
garden...
Mink tails?
Mink tails, sable tails or something like that. Listen, I got like a quarter a week for allowance, and my parents had to hock things to get that. I didn't figure that you were going to go through something like that.
Well, I still do, and I have to now that I'm the only member of my family that still works, I have to go to Disneyland and still bring home a loaf of bread, you know.
I understand.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, Cindy, but you know the ropes here at Monitor, and we have to pause for a couple of moments for our local stations. So stay tuned, everybody. Cindy and I will be right back, right here on the Monitor Beacon. Everybody, we're back. This is Frank Sinatra Jr. here. My guest is lovely Cindy Adams. And you know, Cindy, before we took a break there, you looked at me like you were about ready to ask me a very serious question. What was it?
What about religion, Frank? Are you up on it? Are you hipped on it? Or does it mean something?
Well, now, that's kind of a broad range of territory, Cindy. Are we talking about God or are we talking about religion?
I'll tell you, we're talking about... It's the first time I've known you. We've met a couple of times, but it's the first time I've ever really been able to sit and talk. I would really like to know what makes something as lovely as you. It sounds corny and square, but I didn't figure the first time I met you, you're going to be like
this. Happy this is radio and not television. I wouldn't want anybody to see me blushing right
but
now.
But I'm serious. I didn't expect that you were going to be a nice kid. I thought you were going to be an arrogant kid. I thought you were going to put me on or put me down, but
no,
you never did.
I will put you on, Cindy, but never down. And I'm not going to put anybody down. I'm not that kind of individual. I don't like to be put down, and I don't like to put anybody else down. But I don't mind telling you, and I do have I have many faults of my own, and sometimes I am rather arrogant. As a matter of fact, about an hour ago today, I had a situation that angered me so terribly that it made me that way. And I've been troubled ever since because of it, as a matter of fact.
Well, you looked a little troubled when you walked in, but I didn't know what it was. But you don't really walk around with a chip on your shoulder.
I don't
as
try
you
to
might
to.
Have.
No, I don't try to. I could very easily, Cindy, but I think at this point in my life I'm a little too old for that now. Chips on the shoulder is a common state of mind, but my mother, as we mentioned earlier, like all mothers, used to say something to me. She used to say, "Remember, son, a chip on the shoulder indicates wood higher up."
Very good.
You know?
That's very
good. It's a nice little piece of old country, Italian, Jewish, Polish words of wisdom, you know, that kind of thing. But are we talking about religion now? Did you ask me? Are you asking me, do I believe in God?
Okay, I'll start with that. I'm really just picking your brain. I'm trying to understand what makes a Frank Sinatra Jr. tick.
Well, I'll tell you, and I believe in God quite strongly. And as every day passes, this is personally now, And I sincerely hope in mentioning this, especially over the NBC network here on Monitor, that nobody's offended by my viewpoints. It seems to me that the personality that is God is becoming more and more precise to me with every passing day. I believe that the Almighty, the one above all that people refer to, this, that, and the other thing, must be indeed a very sophisticated entity to tolerate that which is happening in this world now. Because everybody today, it seems, starts a religion. I once, not too many months ago, Cindy, did a television program at Seattle, Washington. And we had some people who came on the show, rather bizarre-looking people, bandying about some rather bizarre-looking musical instruments and some rather bizarre, what Lenny Bruce used to call, non-scheduled theologies. Lenny Bruce used to say that.
Yeah.
And I began to think that God in heaven must be looking down and saying, well, it's wonderful to have all this interest alive. Here we have a successful musical today called Jesus Christ Superstar. But I can't help but think, did you ever see a picture called Beckett?
Mm-hmm.
You remember
yeah.
Beckett with Peter yeah. O'Toole and yeah. Richard Burton, when Richard Burton becomes the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said at one point in the film, he was praying before the cross, and he said, Lord, tell me the truth. Aren't you laughing at me just a little?
Mm-hmm. Upstairs in this RCA building is the Rainbow Grill, where you are a wall-to-wall hot headliner. But have you ever worked a really unpleasant place? Can you remember the worst place you ever worked?
Cindy, there have been many places which I would rather not see again. Some of them aren't too clean. Some of them haven't been in the nicest of neighborhoods. But then again, that's showbiz, as the saying goes. And speaking of showbiz, I am going to have to wrap things up with you right now. I've enjoyed visiting with you. But, you know, Cindy, all evening long I've been mentioning every half hour here that it's been a pleasure to be host on NBC's Monitor, the Weekend Listening Post, for the first time, by the way. And it's wonderful. I haven't run radio since college, and now to be on the network is kind of a big thrill. But the people at Monitor have granted me kind of a special thing, and that is they're going to come with me to work right now. We're going to take our leave from the fifth floor here in the NBC building, and we're going right up on top of the roof to the 65th story, to the Rainbow Grill, and we're going to bring everybody along, and I hope perhaps you'll join us.
I certainly shall. What was your name again?
Sam Schnitzer.
I knew I'd heard
right.
it before.
Well, folks, we're going to sign off right now and take about 7 minutes liberty here. This is Frank Sinatra Jr., and I'm going to have to rush like mad to get up and change clothes, but we're going to play some music for you. And then, the next time you hear my voice, I'll be talking to you from stage side at the Rainbow Grill. Stay with us.